Evening all. What are we talking about today? Well, it's Audio Mo 12. I've not been doing all of them. But I've been recording most days. I've just not been labelling them all as Audio Mo's. But this is Audio Mo 11, and I should definitely put Audio Mo as a hashtag, and I'll try and remember to do 11. So what's today's topic? Today's topic is all that's going on with the BBC. I'm becoming a little bit, I don't know, concerned is the right word, but yeah, I think concerned, frustrated. For a number of reasons. So let's try and take all this apart a little bit, and I'll try not to be too long. But some of you may have seen me already tweet the David Dimbleby interview with, I think it was John Humphreys, wasn't it? So the same guy that basically interviewed the George Entwistle, the Director General. So he's resigned now. I don't think the interview helped very much. That was out sort of, I think Saturday morning, something like that. But as David Dimbleby said, you know, the guy should have fought back, really. You know, whether he should have resigned or not is kind of immaterial for me, really, in one sense. I mean, now the BBC have made it worse by paying him, you know, his £1.5 million, which amounts to something like, 39,000 people's TV licence for a year. So not doing very well. I don't know. So it's complicated, right? Okay. So it's the latest round is all starting off with Jimmy Savile and the sexual abuse scandals and stuff. It's gone way beyond that now. The victims are getting no sort of publicity at all now, it seems. That's assuming that there were victims. Blah de blah de blah. So you know, I'm putting out the various caveats, but. It seems pretty obvious that something wasn't good, and I, for all sorts of reasons that I won't go into for this boo, but I can see sexual deviance and stuff when it's there. As I said, without going into too much, but you know, I've been a victim of that kind of thing myself, and one day I might tell the whole story, but. Anyway, take my word for that part. So it doesn't make me an expert, but you know, as I said, you can see stuff, and you know when something. You just have an inkling for it, an instinct for it, because often if you've experienced something like that, you just sense the same feelings emanating from someone as you would from those that were the perpetrators of your particular circumstance. Anyway, subjective, whatever, I know, but. I know what I know, and I know what I feel, and I know it works for me. So yeah, all that going off. So of course, feeling very much sorry, and have much empathy for genuine victims of that. But then now, you know, it all gets taken much further with the BBC, because obviously, you know, there's all this stuff around Newsnight, and and the BBC. Well, initially, the BBC choosing not to show. Not to air the report that they had. And then obviously Newsnight now with the botched interviews, it's all looking a bit spoofy, wasn't it, the other night with interviewing themselves and not being available for comment and stuff. But what I will say, and this is getting to the crux of it, I think, really, is that the BBC are exemplary in most things, as far as I'm concerned. They always have been. And... well, whether there always will be remains to be seen, and we'll perhaps get to that in a minute. But basically, it seems to me that, again, you know, that they're being attacked from all sides. Whenever something goes wrong, you know, it was like the same with the Iraq inquiry. What was the guy that killed himself, apparently, because he was... to do with the Iraq war and accusing Blair of sexing up the documents and stuff, which, you know, anyone that remembers anything about all that was being said around that at the time, there was a claim that there was a that Saddam could hit us in 40 minutes. That was said, and I think someone thinks we've got short memories. So yes, I would have thought that it's possible those documents were, quote, sexed up, unquote, as was put at the time. The BBC got into loads of trouble for that. They were the only victims, really, in that, in terms of the political fallout. And now that's happening again. Every time it's almost like there's problems created for the BBC, and then someone wants to attack them. You know, untrustworthy people like Murdoch and all his media outlets, the ITVs of the world that basically don't take sides, you try to be not neutral but impartial. They're not impartial. My goodness, the BBC still at the moment is the most integral, it has the most integrity, is the most impartial, is the most qualitative, quality driven media outlet in the world, I would say, bar none. I don't think there are any others that match it still today. You know, if you want to know about what's going on in... Where was the... Because I listened to a lot of the documentaries, so I kind of, remember a lot of this stuff. Mombasa was it, I think, when there was the tribal sort of factions and fighting and stuff in Mombasa. In Africa. The BBC, you want to know what's going on, there's a correspondent, goes there, and they get to the bottom of it, and they try and work out what the hell is going on, and they bring it back to us in sort of, half-hour documentaries or whatever. Kate A.D., and all that she's done in the past, a distinguished career with things like Tiananmen Square, and now she does, still does from her own correspondent. You've got Panorama, you've got, even Newsnight, which shouldn't be vanquished to the sidelines just because of what's happened here. And then as soon as Israel and Palestine, I don't mind who you are, if you're pro-Palestine, pro-Israel, whatever, that ITV will always, seems to me, whenever there's conflicts like that, they go one side or the other. The BBC try to be impartial. Go back, find it on BBC World Service. There's a whole thing that they've done around the broadcasting house 40th anniversary or 60th anniversary or whatever it is. And they covered a whole thing there about journalists on the field and what life was like from there and the terrible dilemmas that they got into just to try and be impartial. Documentaries. Who does documentaries like that? Whether you're talking about... have I covered news? News. Okay, any level of news that you go to with the BBC, even the flagship, what they call the flagship stuff, like News at 10 or whatever, BBC News at 10. Local news, then, as I say, documentaries with, your David Attenborough type stuff, absolutely unparalleled in the world. Everybody looks to the BBC for that. Website accessibility, let's talk about access for us. Website accessibility, BBC have it in spades, always have had. What was I talking about? Audio description, they were way ahead of the game with that. I think the Doctor Who series, one of the Doctor Who series was one of the first DVDs that you literally could go through the whole menu of the DVD. No, I think probably, there was a anniversary edition of, not Green Mile, what's the other one? I can't think of it for now. An older prison film that had menus, but not in the same way that this, the BBC one did. So, Doctor Who series, I think, was one of the first ones where you could literally go through all of the menu systems on all of the DVD menu with speech through the whole box set. And they've continued that. I've got a David Attenborough, is it Life? Not Life on Earth. anyway, something Frozen Planet, in my, I think it's that, which is accessible all the way through. I don't know, you know, you decide, but I think they're being decimated at every opportunity they get, because the government can't really be doing with them being so independent and having their own mind as an entity. And remember, it is an entity. Religious programming. Who does religious programming like the BBC? You know, who? In terms of, you know, a multi-religious approach and doing it really well. You know, things like the Asian Network, which I think, if it isn't already, I think it's under threat. You know, and at the moment, there's still a lot to talk about, to crow about, regards to the BBC. But it's getting worse. You know, there is less and less to hold on to. So what's my point, really? My point is that I think we need to start tweeting and talking up the BBC, because once you lose it, you know, there will be nothing better than that, because there isn't now. You know, ITV, if all of this had been happening to them, and you know, it will do one day, they would have a little sort of, you know, the Complaints Commission held up the following complaint about something that was said on The X Factor, and 7,000 people complained, and blah, 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 and there'd be a little bit of a text, a little bit of a voiceover if you were lucky. The ITV, Sky, any of these channels would not navel gaze the way the BBC do. They would not interview their own as harshly and as thoroughly I've forgotten his name again now. Hang on a minute. John Humphreys, I think it was, interviewed George Entwistle, his own boss. You know, it would not happen anywhere else, I'm sure of it. I've never seen it in the 40-something years that I can remember. And I've long been into my current affairs, and I've long been into sort of, you know, running around, like with the radio, the old radio with shortwave on, you know, listening to all the different world service from different countries of the world. So I've got a pretty good idea, I think, in terms of an end user's perspective as to the quality of the BBC and what they do, you know. So it wouldn't happen. ITV would not measure themselves and critique themselves in the way that the BBC do. And in the main, you know, I think they still do a good job. But I think it's time to support them. I've talked for a lot longer than I'd planned. But then it's a passion of mine, I think, it's fair to say. So I'll leave all this with you. And if you've listened this far, you've done really well. There isn't any more to go, really, because I think I haven't run out of steam. I just think that, you know, I think you'll need to remember what I said and see if you agree with anything that I'm saying. If you do, that's great. If you don't, that's fine. But I will stand for the BBC as it is, and try to sort of do my little bit to ensure that it remains strong and independent and able to do what it does really, really well in terms of quality and output and all the rest of it. And as I say, remember that it's not, you have to stop thinking of it as it's not yours or mine, it's an entity in its own right. So, you know, when they show things like that Jerry Springer thing, you know, the musical, that, you know, obviously a lot of Christians got upset about that. Well, you know, tough, I'm sorry. As you know, you can't get upset about it. The BBC is an entity, it's a platform, you know, because conversely, you don't complain when, you know, BBC produce fantastic quality, Christian programming. I think, didn't they do things like, was it a few years ago, fantastic Easter Story reenactment and things like that. You know, no one could have done that better than they did. Not for a modern sort of take on it, and to commission something like that. I think things like Miracle Maker, didn't some of that come from the BBC? You know, so you know, just Songs of Praise, even, you know, been going for years and years and years. The Sunday programming that you get on the radio and stuff, again, second to none. So, as I say, it's an entity. That's what you've got to remember. And we all can influence it, really. And I think we should stand by it and help it to be that amazing platform of output and input that it is. All right, then. That's me done. I'll speak to you soon. Let me know what you think. Bye-bye. And a quick PS, I kept talking about Audio Mo 11. It's the 12th. 11th was yesterday, as in Remembrance Sunday, which I did do at an Audio Boo 4 and an Audio Mo 4. All right, thanks. Bye-bye again.